It's church time, and I'm not mic'd up, so shame on me. Shame on me. Good to see everybody tonight. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody's doing okay. All right. It was on the cooler side this morning and on the warmer side this afternoon. So pick what you like. Pick what you like. But anyway, bear with us. We're having some technical difficulties. Anytime it gets near church time, we always have some kind of something going on. Some of the times, not all the times. But when you're dealing with technology, that's what happens. But anyway, it is good to be here. Good to see everybody. And we're going to jump right into things. I want to say this, that I spoke with Miss Dolores last night and Brother Leonard, actually, for a little while. And for the next 5 weeks, he's going to be undergoing a new kind of treatment. It's called Y something. If anybody's ever heard of that before, dealing with cancer, I believe. It's Y something. And Ms. Delora says, Brother Justin, I don't expect you to remember all this. She just read it all off the paper to me last night, but they got 5 weeks of treatment back and forth from South Carolina to Atlanta, South Carolina to Atlanta, South Carolina to Atlanta. So they really need our prayers. I know we've mentioned them and gave an update on the latest last week, but they're still in need of that kind of praying for them. Brother Leonard sounded pretty good. His eyesight is back to the way it was, you know, before his fall and all that and getting sick. But again, it has metastasized from the liver, I believe, area, or the eye. And I believe what they're going to do is they're going to, if I'm not getting his story mixed up with somebody else's story, I believe I got his story right, but they're going to go in that vein in the leg. I believe this is him. Or it might be Diane, I'm thinking. But at any rate, they've come a long way with medicine, haven't they? But I believe they're going to go into a vein in his leg and go to his liver. But it's called Y something. But let's just remember them in prayer tonight. And then again, I got Diane Ely here. I found something out. I spoke with Brother Randy yesterday. This infection has nothing to do with her back surgeries. It was something that was discovered while having her back surgeries, that she has some kind of infection in her blood that they're trying to make right and cleanse. So I believe she has some kind of port, some kind of battery, some kind of pump, I think it is, that's working in that area to help with that. So please remember her. And remember him in your prayers. Miss Connie Teague spoke with her. She's at home. She's slowly getting better. I called her right when she was getting ready to eat spaghetti yesterday. I said, I better hang this phone up quick because it sounds like you got something good going on over there. But she's slowly getting able to get on solid foods. But it's just taking a little while, as you can imagine. Dawn Daly. Jim's mother, remember her as she continues to get better. Remember Brother Jim, he's having surgery tomorrow in Kennesaw for his Achilles tendon. And so remember that if you would. I can't call the time. I'm thinking it's sometime in the morning. It's going to be in Kennesaw. But do remember him, if you would. Miss Claudia spoke with her. She's trying to get better, has a bad cough, just, you know, going on and on with her coughing, bless her heart. Dawn Capistrano's having surgery soon. Miss Glenda will be having outpatient surgery on her right eye. So that's on the 25th. Not long. Tuesday. So remember her on that, if you would. Also remember, Youth Sunday that's coming up Sunday. We have one baptism before or right when service starts. It's Eli Rogers. And then we really couldn't coordinate with family and all that of the home, the kids at the home. And so we're going to, Darlene and Brian has decided to just put that off, and Alan Young to put that off a little bit, so we'll group everybody together. Because there's some families, one of the grandmothers is in the hospital trying to get better, and they would love for her to be here for that. So we're going to put that off for a little while. All right, we'll open up the floor, and maybe someone has a prayer request, praise. CC and Chuck. Have to wear it out, huh? Okay, thank you for that update. That's right, we've been praying for them. Let's continue to do so. Chuck and CC. Okay, Sherry. Okay, let's remember this. On? All right. You mentioned that a few times. Are we going to do this or not? Yeah, okay. Well, you know, we're praying for you, buddy. Miss Lee Ellen, Don, your brother reached out to me. I believe they're getting ready to come in town soon, in a month or two. May, is it? Something like that, April 30th. So we're looking forward to seeing them come through here and spend some time with us. So excited about that. Anybody else? Miss Nancy? Okay. Sure will. You know, I remember Jerry, your brother, talking about Allison. She's near and dear to his heart. So we will certainly remember that. Absolutely. You're welcome. Anyone else? All right. Well, we will all gather, all that would like to gather down front, and we'll have a time of prayer together, silent prayer. Just remember all these requests. And what we got coming up, I will say, and we're going to do our best to kick. We are going to kick off outreach in April. April, I want to go April through maybe October, so that'll give us about 6 months of outreach. And again, got some other things in the mix we're working on, so we will release it little by little as it comes to fruition. But let's just remember one another in prayer. Go from there. And Brother Jeff, have a song, I'm sure.
Everybody stand, if you will. We're going to sing Haven of Rest. Haven't done this one in a while. It's an oldie goldie. Alrighty. They're up all night. You have them up here?
No.
Well, y'all just have to listen to me then. All right, one. Okay. Oh, y'all are going to do that? All right, whatever. Just sing nice and loud. My soul in sad exile lies. Song of my soul, since the Lord made me whole, has been the old story, so blessed. O Jesus, who saved whosoever will have a home in that haven of rest. My soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white sea no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy sea. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. I thank my soul in the haven of rest, I'll sail the white sea no more. The tempest sweet for the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I am safe
ever. Those words, that's all.
David, you can grab those lights, and everybody can rest their necks. I bet, I'm sure Brother Jeff knows what that video is. What is that room called, brother? That is the wet dark room, or as a lot of people just know it, as the dark room. In photography, there's a room called the dark room or the wet dark room. This is a special room where film is developed. The film is called negatives before it's developed. The negatives are the opposite of the final print. They are the raw, undeveloped potential of the image. In the end, if handled correctly, the exact image taken originally will be the end product, full of color and imagery. Tonight, I want to use this dark room as a metaphor to our lives. And the title of the lesson tonight is The Dark Room. The Dark Room. Zig Ziglar said, "Fear is the dark room where negatives are developed." Think about that. Fear is the dark room where negatives are developed. Fear, worry, anxiety, etc., is breeding grounds for negativity in our lives. These things bring a darkness that's hard to shake within the power of the flesh. And I'm sure if there's anybody here tonight that's ever experienced some of these things, know exactly what I'm talking about. Fear, anxiety, worry, depression, discouragement. It's hard to shake those feelings. There's a darkness attached to it. During a period of depression, Martin Luther locked himself in his study, and his wife, Katharina, dressed in black, told him he was acting if God was dead. This prompted Luther to acknowledge his own despair and the need to trust in the living God. I don't know if you've heard that story before. While no one likes to go through times of darkness, if we belong to Christ, there is a development taking place in the dark room. We may not see it. We may not feel as though anything good is happening or anything at all. We may feel like we're spinning our wheels. But there is development taking place in the dark room. We learn what doesn't work in this dark room. We learn what does work in this dark room. Christ, He's the one that works, and we trust His process. We learn from our mistakes. Then, when all is said and done, we will resemble Christ, that original print or purpose that He designed for us to resemble. So tonight, I just want to give you some things that surround this topic of the dark room. If you have your Bibles, make your way to 1 John chapter number 4 in verse number 18. Not the Gospel of John, but the Epistles of John. 1 John chapter number 4, verse 18. And let me just say, if you're visiting with us tonight, so good to have you. And it is an honor and blessing to have you back with us. 1 John chapter number 4 in verse number 18. Again, I want to mention some things tonight concerning this dark room, this metaphor of this dark room. Number one, there's pain in the dark room. In 1 John chapter number 4 in verse 18, the Bible says, "There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." So I want to say that there's pain in the dark room. fear and other dark emotions that we experience is joined together with this word torment here. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. The word torment here means extreme pain or distress. I want to say tonight that many people are experiencing fear and worry, anxiety, discouragement, depression, and they live their days in torment. They live their days experiencing extreme emotional pain. And it's very, very distressing. Do you know anybody today? You don't have to raise your hand if it's you, but do you know anybody today, or have you experienced living any amount of days with extreme fear or anxiety, discouragement or depression? It has a darkness to it. It brings a level of torment. Try to enjoy a particular day while being stressed out the whole day. Try to enjoy watching a TV show, a simple TV show, when the whole time you are discouraged or depressed, or you're experiencing fear. Try to watch, if you're a Braves fan, the Braves game, and try to enjoy that while wrestling in your mind. Whatever it is that you enjoy, try doing that while experiencing fear, worry, or anxiety. It's just a very painful place to be emotionally. And so there's pain in the dark room, he says, because fear hath torment. Even living in physical pain, it can lead to torment, along with all the other dark emotions that surround it. Read a statistic today that in 2024, 5% of adults and older reported having regular feelings of depression. To me, that sounds low. I think it's higher than that, but that's just me. Women are more likely to experience these feelings than men, or the feeling of depression. That's what I read. I don't know how true it is, but that's what the statistics said. 5% in 2024 of adults and older reported having regular feelings of depression, being predominant in women. Now, this is staggering, this statistic. Again, I got it off Google. I don't know how accurate it is. A lot of things, especially with AI now, it's really accurate. But in 2022, 49,500 people died by suicide. That's just what the statistics said. That seems really high to me. I don't know. And if that be the case, that kind of puts us 2 years into COVID. You remember COVID when it hit in, 2020? And then we tried to figure it out. And then about 2022, we kind of had a pathway. But that lands right in the middle of COVID. And so if that be the case, it does make some sense. 49,500 people died by suicide in 2022. Now the year that was before that had the highest of all-time record that I studied and looked at was in 1941. And in 1941, 100,000 died by suicide. Now, I didn't take the time to go and look what was going on in 1941. Does anything? World War II. So these are certainly linked to life-changing events. And no doubt that World War II and families at home and soldiers across the sea and all of that was a dark time. And you already know COVID was a dark time. It was the dark room. And so we said all that to say this, that there's pain in the dark room. Also read that the highest number of suicides happen on Mondays. I thought that was something, on Mondays. So don't ever think about going to that length. Don't ever think about doing that. You may be watching online or listening. Don't ever think about suicide. Listen, there, Jesus is well able to heal us mentally, but also He's well able to navigate us through different doctors. Okay, there's ways around it. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope if you're in the dark room tonight. There is a way out. Now saying that, there's pain in the dark room. I want to move on to my second point, and that is there's purpose in the dark room. Purpose. Look what else the verse says in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In just a brief summarization, I'll tell you what that verse is saying. This verse is emphasizing that a mature, God-like love banishes fear, especially the fear of punishment and abandonment by God. And this is indicative of a deeper, more confident relationship with the Lord. He says there is no fear in love. Let me ask you, how much does God love you tonight? Well, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, His love is a so love. You've heard me say it before. I believe that the writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, put the word so there because it's an indescribable love. God so loved the world. And that word love is agape, unconditional love. And so if I were to wonder how much God loves me tonight, He loves me so much. He loves you so much. It's indescribable how much that He loves us. And if He gave us His Son, what would He not give us or do for us? And so the writer is talking about there is no fear in love, but perfect love. That word perfect means mature or filled to the top, fully understood, but perfect love casteth out fear. And so when we fully understand or get an idea of the heights, the depths, the breadths that we talked about the other Sunday of the love of God, we start to understand that if He gave us His Son, then that means He loves us so much. And if He loves us so much and He loves us unconditionally, He will take care of us. And that knowledge of that fact is in the Bible, the truth thereof, of God's love for us, unconditional, that will cast out fear. But you see, there is a time in the dark room when you're trying to understand the love of God. I've talked to people before, says, "Bro, Justin, God doesn't love me. Are you saved?" "Oh, I know I'm saved." "Well, how can you say God doesn't love me?" "Because I fall and I stumble." "Well, don't you know that He knew that before He saved you?" It's people trying, and me, myself included, trying to comprehend the love of Christ. And it takes a long time to fully comprehend. And I'm not sure if we can fully comprehend while we're in this mortal flesh, the love of Christ. We're going to have an immortal body, a glorified body. To know that Jesus still loves me, God still loves me, no matter what I do and what I've done, He saved me and changed my life, and my name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And if He did all those things, what would He not do? He just loves me. That's hard to understand tonight. And so there's this time when we're in a dark room. and all we see is the negatives, and all we see are the plans that fell through and the what ifs, and all of the fumbles that we've made, and all of the blown opportunities and the things that don't make sense. This is living or experiencing the dark room. But praise be to God when we get to the place of allowing His love to invade our soul. We need to allow His love to shine in our dark place. Allow the love of God to radiate and beam His love right on that fear spot. What are you fearing tonight? What are you fearing? Is it your health, a decline in your health? Is it a job, or you may not get a job? Is it a family conflict? What are you fearing tonight? Well, the Bible says there is no fear in love, but perfect love, mature love, complete love, love that's filled to the brim, casteth out fear. So the reality tonight is whatever I'm worried about or anxious about, when I at least began to understand the love of Christ and how He has my back, and how He has my life, and how He has my tomorrows, that ought to expel my fear and worry. And so we see that the Bible is clear here. It talks about the purpose. What is the purpose of the dark room? The purpose of the dark room is to thrust our trust to Christ. That's the purpose. Are you in a dark place tonight? Is there excessive fear and worry? The Bible says, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Have a reverential awe of God. Not that He's going to strike us dead, and not that He's going to punish us, but that He's a loving Father and He loves us and He wants to protect us and He wants to bring to light the negatives in our life. You know, over in Romans chapter number 8, in verse number 28, you know the verse. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. That verse. But if you go on and you look at that, it talks about that He has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so that's the plan. He saved us, those that are saved, where we were, and He begins to take us to a place of resembling Christ. What does Christ look like? He looks like love. He looks like compassion. He looks like mercy. He is love. He is compassion. He is mercy. And so He brings us through these dark places of our lives so that the negatives can develop into the intended picture and purpose of our life, to be conformed to the image of His Son. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so tonight, if I am fearing something, if it's got the best of me and I'm worried and I'm fretting, then I'm working out of the energy of my flesh. I'm trying to understand with the natural mind what's going on in my life. I'm trying to draw conclusions. I'm trying to figure it out. And when I do that, sometimes it'll leave me in a dark place, filled with anxiety, fear, and worry. And so my knowledge of His love has not matured yet that He has for me, because I'm fearing. I'm fearful. I'm worried. And the day comes where a thought may come and the opportunity is there to fear or fret or worry. And I say, no, God's got me. He saved me. He changed my life. He has a purpose for what I'm going through. That's to learn that more and more that He's faithful and just and all of those things. And I choose to accept that and move forward in faith. That's maturity. Now, I want to say, like I always say when I speak about topics like this, I'm not talking about chemical imbalances in the brain. Those are real things. There are real serotonin levels that get out of whack, and they get like this, and they're supposed to be like this, and there's behavioral problems. So medicine definitely is involved with getting one balanced where fear doesn't dominate their life. But outside of that, it is truly trusting the Lord with your life. So this verse emphasizes that a mature, godlike love banishes fear, especially the fear of punishment and abandonment by God. And this would indicate a deeper, more confident relationship with God when fear is absent. All right. Now, turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 1. You say, Brother Justin, I just don't know if anybody really is paralyzed with fear. Oh, yeah. 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul was paralyzed with fear. 2 Corinthians 1:8 down through verse number 10. Paul was at a place where he despaired of life. All right? I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. So Paul says there was a time where we didn't have enough strength to carry on. You ever been there before? You couldn't find the strength to carry on. Paul said, I've been there. He said, we were pressed out of measure. You couldn't even measure where we were mentally and spiritually and physically. I mean, it was immeasurable. Just no strength to match the strength we needed. It was gone. He said, in so much that we despaired even of life. So not only him, but others. They thought they were going down. They thought they weren't going to rise again. Look at verse number 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. I want to stop there for a moment. The word sentence there simply means the answer. He says, but we had the sentence or the answer of death in ourselves. In other words, they despaired of life and they just gave up and they were going to die. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. We had the answer of death in ourselves. We're just not going to make it through this one. And certainly, this was a dark time in Paul's life. There are times in life that we can get so close to death that we feel like we're about to experience it. David did say there's only a step between me and death. And so Paul is feeling this way. And there are times where we can feel this way, where, Lord, I don't have enough strength. Lord, I despair to face tomorrow. Lord, I just don't see it getting any better. This is it. My answer is, I'm going down. But the other part of verse number 9 says this. There's a connecting word here. And it's the word that. But we had the sentence or answer of death in ourselves, that. Paul learned something in the dark room. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead,
who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver, in whom we trust, and he will yet deliver us. You see that? In one verse, Paul says that we're pressed at a measure of our strength, that we despair of life. The next verse, he says that we have given up all hopes, we're going to die. He says, but we figured something out in our garden. We figured out that we light